Congratulations! Hello and welcome to our 100th episode. If you are a new listener to this award-winning podcast, welcome. With over 40 years of teaching experience between us, Reza and I will help you improve your English and take it to the next level. My name's Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And we're very happy to be speaking to you after 100 episodes of Up in Dead English con Reza y Craig. Should we open the champagne?
Yes, let's open it.
Yep, let's have a drink and toast our 100th episode. Do you know when we first started podcasting, Reza? Do you remember?
Ooh, 2014, was it? 2014?
Well, actually, if you look at the website, inglespodcast.com, the first post was January the 30th, 2014. Yeah. But I checked and we actually released our first podcast on October the 12th, 2013. So this year will be three years. Wow.
And what did we do in that episode, that very first episode?
We spoke about the present simple. We spoke about make and do. And we spoke about the schwa, some pronunciation, back in episode one. So we've come a long way. What's the best thing about doing this podcast for you? What do you enjoy most about it?
The feedback from listeners.
Me too, actually.
Without any doubt, that's the best.
I was thinking the same thing, hearing from people, especially with voice messages, and knowing that we're reaching people and we're helping them improve their English. That gives me a lot of satisfaction. It gives both of us a lot of satisfaction.
So please do keep sending us your feedback, written or your own voice, whatever you like. Please keep it coming.
Because if we don't hear from you, we don't think anybody's listening. We think there's nobody out there. So please keep saying hi. Just send us messages, send us emails. We love hearing from all of you. Now, we asked you to send us some feedback and tell us how English has helped you in the past. And because of your English, you have done X. So let's listen to some feedback from you. Our first piece of audio feedback that we received from Mamin, who recently passed her oral exam. Here's Mamin.
Hi, Craig. Hi, Reza. This is Mamin. How are you doing? I've just finished my oral exam, and I'm glad to say that I passed. I think I did a very good monologue. Maybe a kind of annoying, because the topic I didn't like it. It was about family, and it's always the same topic for me. I don't know why. I think this is a sign. So only I think that I improved my monologue because of you two. Big kiss, big hug. Bye.
So, congratulations, Mamin. Fantastic. Well done. Did she make any mistakes in that feedback, Reza?
Yes, Mamin, you said the topic, I didn't like it. That's a typical Spanish mistake. You should just say, I didn't like the topic. Because in English, nearly always, the order of the words must be first subject, I, and then the verb, didn't like, and then the object. And only one object. I didn't like the topic. So if you say the topic, you can't say it also.
Is that a direct translation from Spanish?
Yes, I think what you thought in Spanish is el tema no me gustó. But yeah, in English, you can't do it that way. You have to say I, subject, didn't like the topic.
Subject, verb, object. We have some feedback from Sergio, who sent us an email. Would you like to read it, Reza?
Okay, here's Sergio's email. He writes, my name is Sergio. It is not my first time writing to you. I listen to your podcast every day. And I have listened some, I think he means I've listened to some podcasts about the first certificate exam. And I would like to know which is the required or minimum level to pass. I mean, I have studied English for many years and I use it very often at my work. Perhaps I should try to improve my vocabulary in general, but I think I can follow a normal conversation with a native speaker. Sorry. I have listened to some podcasts, as I said before, about some of your students doing a first certificate speaking exam. And I would like to know if they could pass the exam. Could you tell me a podcast number or episode in which I could listen to a person who has passed, I suppose, the exam, please?
Good question. Yeah, so I understand Sergio is asking specifically about the speaking test and not the exam in general, because to pass the exam, you need 60% from all of the papers, the listening, the speaking, use of English, reading, etc. So only the speaking. If you go to a test I did, an FCE oral test with Bea and Tatania, and I'll link the episode in the show notes. You can find the link and the show notes to this episode at inglespodcast.com/100. I'll link to the oral test I did with Bea and Tatania, and both of those students passed. If you remember, we announced on a past episode that Bea passed her FCE exam. She got a grade C, I think, and Tatania got grade B. So those are the results of the actual test they took. Go and look at those and you'll know the level.
Craig, I think we have some more feedback. We have the voice of Nadia. Shall we listen to that?
Yeah, Nadia's from Morocco, and she's saying that she can now communicate with her clients at work thanks to her English. So here's Nadia's voice feedback.
Hi, I'm Nadia. I'm from Morocco. I was out of practicing, but presently, thanks to my job, I communicate with the clients, help them to choose the items, and haggling over prices is noticeable progress for me.
Thanks, Nadia. Nadia says she was out of practicing. That's not quite correct, is it, Reza? Out of practicing.
Nadia, you should say that you were out of practice. The noun, not ing. You were out of practice.
So Nadia says she was out of practice, but now she can communicate better with her clients and help them choose products and prices. So well done, Nadia. Fantastic. You've improved your English and you're communicating better with your clients.
And thanks very much for getting in touch with us. I think you may be our first feedback from Morocco. Is that right?
I think so. It's fantastic to have listeners in Morocco, and it's even better to know we're helping them improve their English. So,
and as you can all hear, you've heard Nadia speak. She speaks very well, very fluently indeed. Thank you for making the effort. When I visited Morocco myself, beautiful country, last year, my language abilities were tested because I often had to try to speak in French.
You don't speak any Arabic?
No, not really. Only a couple of words. So I think it's really great that you've made the effort to learn English, to communicate with those who can't speak Arabic or French so well.
Absolutely. Another person who speaks English very well is Elisa from Finland, who we've mentioned a few times in the past. But this is the first time I think Elisa has sent us some audio feedback, and it's lovely to hear her voice finally. So thank you, Elisa. And here is Elisa's feedback that she sent us because of her English.
Hi, Reza, and hi, Greg. And first of all, a huge congratulations for your 100 episodes achievement. You've given us so many hours of your own time that it's amazing. I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, because of my English, I haven't got a new or better job, not even a friend, or not to mention love. But I think this fascinating language and internet, of course, is just my window to the world. English language allows me to be here and there when I want. And For example, on Sundays or Mondays, I always want to be a listener of your brilliant podcast. And of course, because of my English, I'm able to do crazy things like this. But now it's goodbye from Finland.
So, Reza, that was wonderfully well recorded.
Elisa, I've listened very carefully and you have made no mistakes.
None at all.
And I looked at the time. You spoke for 1 minute. To speak for a minute without any mistakes is very difficult. Well done. Fantastic.
Very impressive. And I like the expression she used at the beginning, English is her window to the world. Very nice. I also like the way she stressed certain words, which yes. made her communication more effective. She said, for example, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Stressing the really makes the communication more effective. Another example, huge congratulations, she said. Huge congratulations. So thank you, Elisa. It was really nice to hear from you.
Next up, Craig, I think we have some feedback from Marga Arroyas.
Yes, shall I read it? It's Hola, Reza and Craig. This is my first email to any of you, and I could tell you how wonderful you are. Please do. I could tell you how nice it is listening to you and how much I learn when doing it. I could tell you I've downloaded all your podcasts. I could tell you I listen to them as much as possible when cooking, driving, or even sleeping. I could tell you you are the best teachers I've ever had. I could tell you how English has helped me in my life. I could, but I won't. I'll just say thank you for everything. Not kisses, not hugs, just a dulce de leche recipe.
Ah, dulce de leche recipe. We are always interested in that, aren't we?
We are, and especially like the pictures that that Marga sent us with her recipe. It looks delicious. And Marga says, if you can't convince Reza to make dulce de leche turrón, I would be more than happy to make turrón for both of you. Something I've always loved is cooking, and living in Valencia, just like you, it won't be any problem to make the turrón and take it to any place you like. Seriously, please think about it.
Oh, we have thought about it. We like the idea.
So we'd like to say yes, Marga. Thank you very much. And we would love to taste your homemade dulce de leche turrón.
It's a very sweet offer. A bad joke. A
very sweet offer.
I think she goes on with a bit more, Craig.
Oh, yes. She says, by the way, there's a place called Dulce de Leche in Valencia where everything they sell is made of dulce de leche. In fact, there are two places, Calle Jesús and Calle Cuba. Isn't this where Reza lives? Doesn't he know about it? Well, do you? Do you know about those places?
I do know about it. And yes, they do make dulce de leche there. I don't think everything's made with it, but a lot of things. I think the owners are Argentinian. And yes, I do know the Calle Cuba very well. I've often been in that cafe. But you know what, Margo? Homemade's always better than bought outside, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So thank you very much for your offer, and we would like to take you up on it. If you take someone up on an offer, you accept it. So we'll take you up on your offer. The next message we have is from Javier G from the Basque Country. I don't know if you remember, but Javier G sent us a voice message a while ago. He's the guy who's been listening to us from 2010, which was before we started doing it together, when I first started doing it by myself very badly, and then you joined and it got better.
Oh, so. I don't know. I think Craig's being too kind. And Javier, do you listen to it when it was good before I started?
No, it was terrible. Don't go back. Don't go there. Don't go back to 2010. It was terrible. So Javier says, hi, my friends, Craig and Reza. I'm Javier G from the Basque Country, but right now I am in Phoenix, Arizona. Wow. I've come here for 3 months like a tourist.
Can I sing a little bit of a song? Javier, Jesus Barred Me.
Go on then.
Memories of Childhood. It was one of my parents' favorite songs that they always played on a, was it called an 8-track cassette cartridge?
Oh, I don't remember those.
On an old-fashioned cassette, like a big box in the car, and it went like this. Is anybody going to Tennessee or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right as long as I can forget I've ever known her. Oh, that brings back memories. That is the one and only Charlie Pride. And both my parents were huge Charlie Pride fans. So anywhere, Phoenix, Arizona, as long as I can forget I've ever known her. Sad line.
Well, that's where Javier is now.
Sorry, Javier.
Did you? Well, it was nice doing this podcast with you, and I'm really pleased we had to stop at 100. Did you spot a small mistake there from Javier? He said, "I have come for 3 months like a tourist."
I have come for 3 months as a tourist.
As a tourist.
As plus your role or your function. For example, we work as teachers and we work as podcasters. You came as a tourist. Mm-hmm. This office serves as a reception as well, as plus the function.
So be careful when you're translating como into English. It's not always like. So I've come for 3 months as a tourist to improve my English, and I have to go back in the middle of May. I'm improving my English a lot because I'm trying to engage with native speakers. Well done. Right now I have 10 people to teach Spanish and to learn English face-to-face. 2 hours, one in Spanish and the other one in English. This is the deal. But I'm writing to you to tell you that last week we were in LA, California. Well, he's traveling around. My friend had a meeting there and his partner from Argentina gave him this box with alfajores rellenos con dulce de leche.
Ooh,
my favorite.
Craig, you love them, don't you?
Oh, my favorite. And this remained me you.
Ooh, that's a mistake, I think. And this reminded me of you.
He reminded means. Me of you. That's quite difficult. This reminded me of you. I sent you a picture of the box. And I'm sorry, we ate all of them. They were really good. Well, thank you for the picture.
Yes, thanks for the picture.
Thanks for the picture. Yeah.
Well, we hope that at least you thought about us when you ate them.
And I thought about my favorite things, alfajores. I love them. The American accent is so difficult to understand, especially on TV or when the native speakers are talking among themselves. If a native speaker is talking to you, it's easier because you know about the topic you're talking about. And then he finishes. I can continue here in my dead time, spare time. I continue here in my spare time with your podcast, listening to your podcast. Thank you very much, Javier G.
You're welcome, Javier.
Yeah, but the TV is very useful for improving your listening comprehension. If you're in another country, an English-speaking country, and you have a TV in your room, in your hotel room, listen as much as possible, even in the background when you're doing something else, because subconsciously you'll be tuning your ear, you'll be getting used to the sounds, the rhythm, the stress of the language. So listen to the TV in English as much as possible. And have a great trip, Javier. Please get in touch when you come back to Spain and tell us how your trip was. Next, we have some audio feedback from Javier from Colombia. And he's asking...
This is another Javier.
Another Javier, yes. He's asking about last. So let's listen to Javier's feedback.
Greetings to the people in La Mansión del Inglés. This is Javier Fernandez from Colombia. Searching on the internet, I have found your web and then the podcast in iTunes. Could you please explain the different uses of the word last? Thank you very much. This will be very helpful for me.
Thank you, Javier, for sending us that. And Javier said, I found your web. That can be improved, can't it?
Javier, you should say, I have found your website on the internet. Website. Because the web just refers to internet in general, whereas inglespodcast.com is a website, a specific website.
And Javier's asking about the word last. Well, last can translate as último or última. The example would be, what was the last book you read? ¿Cuál es el último libro que has leído? Or do you want the last biscuit? So here it's an adjective. But it can also be a verb, can't it?
Yes. For example, you could say, the speech lasted 30 minutes. El discurso duró. Lasted 30 minutos. So last can be a verb meaning the duration of something. How long will this podcast last today, Craig?
I think it will probably last about 40 minutes, give or take, more or less.
Can you think of any other meanings of the word last?
Well, there's survive, the meaning of survive, sobrevivir, for example. Do you think this podcast will last to 200 episodes?
Of course. We've lasted so far up to 100. I think we can last. We can survive at least another 100, but let it be another 500 or more.
Let's hope so. How long would you last in a zombie apocalypse, do you think? Would you last more than a day?
What do you mean by how long you would last? If you were a zombie yourself or if you were defending yourself against the zombies?
No, you're defending yourself against zombies. Everybody else is a zombie and you're not, and you go out on the street. How long would you last? You wouldn't last very long.
You wouldn't last long. You wouldn't last very long.
You'd last maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
And how long would you last if you were a zombie? But if you were a vegetarian zombie, you'd get pretty hungry pretty quick. Yeah,
you would. Reza and I would like to say thank you to our wonderful sponsors, iTalki. iTalki is possibly the fastest way to become fluent in English online. You can find a native English speaker to teach you English on iTalki at very low cost, and you can learn in your house, at your home, or at work at a time that is convenient for you. So if you're interested in personal customized learning and also with that human connection that you get with another person and not just learning through apps or software, why not try iTalki? Now, when you go to the iTalki website, you contact teachers from all over the world and you speak to teachers. But I wanted you to hear from the iTalki company itself, the people behind the iTalki website. So I asked Ivan from iTalki if he would say something to you in Spanish. So here is Ivan.
Hey, everyone. This is Ivan, and I work at iTalki. To say something in Spanish, unfortunately, I haven't studied Spanish since elementary school, but hola, ¿cómo estás? Yo soy Iván. And when I think of Spain, I guess obviously the food and the music comes up, but at this point, it's probably my colleagues that are from Spain that I think and appreciate the most, because we have shared a lot of successes and challenges of working together at iTalki, and I'm deeply grateful to have met them while working here.
iTalki are offering 100 iTalki credits free to each paying student that registers through our website. To find out more, go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig on our 100th episode. We have another piece of feedback from Mamin, who's asking us a question. So hello again, Mamin. And for the second time this episode, let's hear from Mamin.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Reza. This is Mamen again. I've just listened to your podcast in my commuter. I think it's the way I have to say it. So thank you, Antonio, because you said that you like my American accent. So thank you very much. And taking advantage of my recording, I want to ask you too if you could help me with two problems that I have with the use of two words. One of the words is off and the other one is for. I have a lot of problems. I don't know when I have to use one of these two words. So if you could help me, I'll appreciate. And that's all. Big kiss. Bye.
So thank you for sending that in to us, Mamen. Your question with of and for. Just one thing. It's better to say I listened on my commute. So you are a commuter. The commuter is the person. And the commute is the thing you do. So it's a verb or a noun, a commute, or I commute to work. And you are a commuter, finishing in ER. So uses of. Let's look at of first. Reza, how can we remember to use of? It's quite difficult, isn't it? Because there are many different uses of. There are many different uses of for.
Yeah.
It's difficult to, we're going to try, but it's difficult to separate them and it's quite complicated. And sometimes they're different to the Spanish use.
Yeah. Well, as you all know already, I'm sure, of and for are prepositions. Prepositions are very tricky because quite often they can't easily be translated and they're not very logical. In any language, it's the same for Spanish or French or any language. People don't see the logical use of prepositions sometimes. For example, why do the Spanish say en la pared and in English we say on the wall? But we say en el jardín, in the garden, same word and different translations. So bear that in mind when you think of and for. Sometimes you just have to learn it. But having said that, I would say there's a general kind of use for of. I've got for and of in the same sentence there, which is belonging to, relating to, or connected to. That's the general idea of. Would you agree?
The general idea of yes. For example, could be the secret of success is never give up. So the secret of something. So it's the secret that's relating to or connected to the idea of success.
Craig, what's the secret of happiness then?
Ooh, that's a good question. What's the secret of happiness? I think the secret of happiness is appreciating what you have. What do you think?
I agree. Being happy with what you've got. So that use of is about relating to, belonging to, or connected to, associated to.
Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do in the first section of this podcast is celebrate our listeners' successes. So the first section of this podcast is the first section that this podcast belongs to, that belongs to this podcast. And we're celebrating the successes of our listeners.
Another use of is for belonging to, but often we don't use of. For example, Reza's tea.
The tea of Reza. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it means. But in English, that doesn't sound good. It's better to use possessive s rather than of most of the time. For possession in English. Although of is occasionally used. For example,
the top of the mountain.
Exactly, the top of the mountain, right? Not the mountain's top, the top of the mountain. And yes, the top belongs to the mountain, it's true. But when it's more personal, like Reza's tea, or even to do with, for example, a city, the Malvarosa is Valencia's beach. Then, because it's more personal, it's to do with belonging to a person or a city. It's usually possessive apostrophe S. But when you talk about, for example, the part belonging to a bigger part, that's not very personal. So then we tend to use of like the top of the mountain or the bottom of the sea, you know, like a part belonging to another part.
Exactly. One point I'd like to make about the pronunciation of, because it's a preposition and prepositions are words that don't usually carry meaning in a sentence, they're usually weak. So, for example, have you ever dreamed of being rich and famous? You wouldn't stress the of. It's more usual to say, have you ever dreamed of? Dreamed of. Not of, but of. That schwa again, that sound of, dreamed of. Have you, Reza? Have you ever dreamed of being rich and famous?
I have. And Craig, I'm sure it's only a question of time before these podcasts make us world famous.
I don't think they'll make us rich. They won't make us rich, but they might make us famous.
No, I did the mathematics, and charging €0 for people to listen to them, I calculated, isn't going to make us a lot of money. But think of the pleasure. Think of the pleasure we get from it, Craig.
When you're referring to things, you can use the preposition of. For example, we started this podcast in October of 2013. There's a picture of Reza and Berta in episode 97, for example, a picture of you. There's a picture of you on the website.
So you're referring to
something. Another example, I got a discount of 40% on my new jacket. Although it's easier to say I got a 40% discount, but you can say I got a discount of 40%.
Okay, and that brings me to something specific to Spanish speakers. I got a 40% discount, or I got a discount of 40%. They're both correct. Of course, a Spanish speaker intuitively prefers to say, I got a discount of 40%.
Because that's how you say it in Spanish.
Un descuento de 40%. Very, very often, not always, but very often, when Spanish is algo de algo, in English, you don't have to, or sometimes you can't use of. What you do is invert the order. So if you say discount of 40%, then take away of and reverse the order. Instead of putting discount first, put it last and put 40% first. So discount of 40%, 40% discount.
Can you say in Spanish, me han dado un 40% descuento?
No. You can't.
You can't. You have to say un descuento de 40%.
Yeah. But that's a general pattern. You can do that a lot. For example, the city center. El centro de la ciudad. El algo de algo. Centro de la ciudad. So put ciudad first, city, and centro second, city center. You could say the center of the city, but it's much more typical to say the city center.
Or she's a friend of my neighbor. She's my neighbor's friend. Another example.
Okay. Of is also used very often when you're indicating an amount or number. For example, I've had 3 cups of coffee already. 3 cups of what? Of coffee. So 3, the number of the thing, coffee.
Me too. I've had 3 cups of coffee and a cup of tea.
Or it doesn't have to be a specific number. You could say there's a large number of people listening to this podcast. A large number of people. Or I only got 5 hours of sleep last night. Although you could say I only slept 4 or 5 hours. You could use 4 there as well.
2 ways of saying the same thing. Also, when things are made of a material or formed from a material, when Spanish you'd say hecho de, then you could use of. For example, está hecho de plástico. This is made of plastic, or this table is made of wood, for example.
A question for Margo. What's dulce de leche made of? Many things, yes.
It's made of sugar. It's made of caramello, is it? Caramel? Toffee? I don't know.
Yeah. And did you know that little girls are made of sugar and spice?
And all things nice,
according to an old verse that children learn. That's the ingredients of girls. And what are boys made of? boys are made of slugs and snails and puppy dog's tails. Not very nice ingredients. No. That's from a verse that the kids learn in English.
It's quite sexist, really.
Yes. So one final use of is the connection between nouns. For example, la economía es la causa de la crisis. You hear that? There's probably an of in English. The economy is the cause of the crisis. Cause is a noun. Crisis is a noun.
But you could cause also, of the crisis. But you could also say the reason for.
You could, exactly.
Yeah. It's the reason for the crisis, or it's the cause of the crisis.
Let's talk more about for now.
Okay, so for can be used to speak about time or duration. For example, Reza and I have been podcasting for nearly 3 years, and the same thing happens with the pronunciation of this preposition. It becomes weak. So I wouldn't say for normally. I'd say for. So we've been podcasting for nearly 3 years.
Not stressing the word for, saying for.
Except perhaps if it's at the end of a sentence. For example, Reza recently went to visit a friend in Cornwall.
A friend who has appeared on Aprender Inglés con Reza Craig.
That's right, Becky.
Becky. Oh, what episode, Craig? Oh.
I'll put the episode in the show notes.
We can't remember right now, but we'll put it in.
If you'd like to listen to the person Reza visited. So how long did you go to Cornwall for? See, there I stressed it a little. Mm-hmm. How long did you go for?
Mm-hmm. Because it was at the end, yeah.
So how long did you go for?
I stayed there for 4 days. Oh, what have I said? Have I got a stutter? Can't I talk properly? No. What's, for 4 days.
What's stutter in Spanish?
Did I stutter there? Tartariar or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
No, the preposition was for and the number was four. Now, it would sound really silly if I said, I went there for 4 days. Mm-hmm. It's actually confusing if I stress both for and four. It's much easier for a native speaker to understand if you say, I went for 4 days. So the preposition for is weak, for, and the number for, that stress. I went not for 2 days, not for 5 days. I went for 4 days.
For 4 days.
So I was in Cornwall for 4 days. Not during. In Spanish, durante looks like during, but it isn't. During is used with a period. For example, during the war, there were a lot of difficulties. Or during my childhood, I was very fat.
Are you busy during the week?
During the week. But for is a period of time. It's not an event or an era, a time in history. For example, during the Renaissance. For a period of time. That's the difference between for. Both can be durante in Spanish. That's the problem. It's durante la guerra, during the war. But for 4 days, durante cuatro días. Be careful.
It's confusing.
What other uses of for can you think of, Craig?
You can use the preposition for to show the use of something. What is it for? ¿Para qué es? So this device is for recording audio. You can also use for to mean because of. So, for example, I'm so happy for you. Or we feel deeply sorry for your loss, because of your loss. So Reza and I didn't really like the noise and the crowds during the Fallas Festival in Valencia in March. For this reason, we often travel during this time. So because of this, we often travel during this time. Also, when you compare things to like a standard situation, you can use for. For example, it's warm, it's quite hot for this time of year. Hace mucho calor para esta época de año. It's warm for this time of year, or it's quite cold for this time of year. Any other uses, Reza?
Yes. Another example, We've been criticized rightly for our bad pronunciation of Spanish at times. We apologize. But we're not bad for two guiris, are we? Not bad for two guiris or two gringos for our South American listeners. We're not bad for. Four means, if you consider that, we're guiris or gringos.
Exactly. Also, it can be used for in somebody's place or instead of somebody. For example, I don't want to do his work for him. No quiero hacer el trabajo por él. I don't want to do it for you. I don't want to do it for him. So in place of somebody is another use.
Or indeed the idea of doing something for the benefit of someone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all of you, I would do anything for Berta, for the good of Berta. I would do the work, but the benefit would be for her, for Berta.
Exactly.
All for one and one for all, said the three musketeers. All for one and one for all.
Every man for himself is another.
Which I guess means the opposite of all for one and one for all.
Yeah, every man for himself, it sounds quite selfish.
For king and country, or for queen and country, many British people say.
For the queen. In order to get something, or in order to get someone, para conseguir algo. For example, he went out for some milk. He'll be back soon. Fue a por leche. Mm-hmm. So he went out for some milk, for some bread.
What about if I say he went out for to get some milk? Is that okay?
No.
Oh, a classic, classic no. Spanish mistake.
That's a direct classic translation. When that's wrong.
Para comprar leche? No, why not for para?
He went out to get some milk.
Uh-huh. So it's just infinitive in English.
Yes.
Para comprar, to get. The infinitive of purpose, not for. But you used for. But it's because you've used a noun
for
some milk.
Because it's a noun.
Yeah. But he went out to buy some milk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for something, a noun, or ing. But if it's if you're going to use a verb, no for, only infinitive. I went to the bank. Why? For some money. I went to the bank. Why? To get some money.
So when it's a verb, it's infinitive. Finally, in favor of something. For example, Reza was for the plan, but Craig was against it. So if you are in favor of something, you can use for in that context. Reza estaba por hacerlo. Reza was for the plan, or Reza was for the idea. He was in favor of it. Can you think of any more uses of for?
No, that's just about it.
I think so. I mean, there may be some others we haven't mentioned here, but as you can see, it is quite complicated. Yeah. But the good news is, although prepositions are quite difficult sometimes, if you make a mistake with a preposition, it's not the end of the world. People will understand your message. You will probably be understood, even though you've made a mistake with a preposition. And remember the weak pronunciation of for, which becomes for. And of, which becomes of.
With of and for, as we said earlier, there are plenty of other expressions which we haven't mentioned. That's because you just have to learn them, because prepositions can't always be translated the same. So we are only mentioning here the common tendencies or the patterns or rules to help you. But, for example, you just have to know that you say, this book was written by Orwell, for example. Not written for, written by. See, Spanish people think, escrito por Orwell. Well, por is for, isn't it? Well, sometimes it's for, but sometimes it's not. A book is written by someone. And I bought Craig a book for his birthday.
Yeah, you did?
I gave the book to Craig, a book for Craig. Craig didn't write the book. I gave the book to Craig. It was a book for Craig. But 1984, the book, was written by Orwell, that poor. So some of them have no logic. It's collocations. You just have to learn.
So try to write the preposition together with the word when you're learning English. Try to think of them as one complete expression, like because of, for example, or to pay for, pay for the meal or pay for the coffee. And if you connect the preposition to particular words, they're easier to learn. Finally, we have one more piece of audio feedback from Angeles from Valencia, who wants to tell us a because of my English story.
Hi, my name is Angeles and I'm from Valencia. Congratulations because you make a wonderful podcast, 100 podcasts, to help us. The way your podcast helped me is because I need the English for traveling and especially to communicate it with my husband and with his family because he is English. So thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Angeles. That's wonderful. Another lovely story.
It sounds like you've obtained a lot in life through your knowledge of English, Angeles.
Yes, she has. And it's lovely to hear such wonderful because of my English stories. If you have any ideas for future podcasts, because we're going to keep on making podcasts into the hundreds, if you have a question or a comment about English, or if you just want to say hello, please send us a voice message and tell us what you think. You can reach us by voice message at speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. Or you can send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com. Craig, I believe in next week's episode, we're talking about one of your favourite topics, cars and driving.
What do you think? You think that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go for it. Let's do it. So next week, we'll be speaking about cars. Thank you for listening, and until next episode,
it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from him. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
Is anybody going to Tennessee or Phoenix, Arizona? Any place is all right as long as I can forget I've ever known her.